Welcome to Get Your Tips Out. Here we are, day two of the Cheltenham Festival. After a very successful day one, a few too many Guinnesses actually consumed down at the course. You'll be delighted to know that Seamus is with us this morning, so we'll hear more from Seamus shortly. Hopefully, a few people followed some of the things we put out yesterday. It was all in all a good day. Personally, I had a draw in every single race, which was fantastic. The ones that didn't win were each way prices and were thereabouts, and we've got a few good ones to go through today. So without further ado, let's get started. So we kick off day two with the Ballymore. I've been interested in a horse here for a while. Sir Gerhard, I think I mentioned on yesterday's podcast that if it had run in Supreme, would have backed it. Now, looking back at the performance of Constitution Hill lowering the track record yesterday, I'm not so sure. So maybe they've dodged the bullet there by not going to the Supreme. But I've long been of the opinion that whatever race Sir Gerhard ran in at Cheltenham, it would win. It won the Cheltenham Bumper last year. And I think it's a good thing here in the first race. Seamus, you're with us. You're just about a week. What do you make of Sir Gerhard in the first? Is there anything you think that could take him on?
I think Sir Gerhard wins.
Is that all you've got to say about that?
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, great stuff. So first race, nice and simple, Sir Gerhard. It's over 2 mile five. It's only been running over 2 miles. It's nicely bred to improve for the 2 mile five, but I don't actually see it being any problem. I think this is an absolute machine. It's odds on, so it doesn't take much picking. There's better things later on the card, I think, but I think for your multiples and stuff like that, Sir Gerhard is your winner in the first. So we move on to race two, which is the Brown Advisory, over 3 miles for the novices over the fences. And I think this could be a race for Britain. We've got Hoisignor, Braveman's Game, L'Empressé, all with realistic chances. I think Braveman's Game is the most solid, jumps really, really well, super well, in fact. Not necessarily proven at Cheltenham, which could be a little bit of a concern for some people, but then in the same way, it's not ran there, so it's not won there, so why should it really matter? Personally, I like L'Empressé, I think. It jumps really, really well. Everything that he seems to run against seems to be a really good horse. It turns out to be a good horse, and he makes him look silly. Jumps really well, I'd say. Jumps just as well as Braveman's Game. I also like a Hoisignor. To be fair, was obviously beaten by Braveman's Game going right-handed. There's talk that Braveman's Game might be better going right-handed, Hoisignor better going left-handed. I'm not sure there's much substance to that right now. I think there's more on the Hoisignor side that it might be better going left-handed. But for me, at the prices there, I like L'Empressé, and I'll be saving on a Hoisignor. How about yourself, Seamus, in the Brown Advisory?
I think what you said there, I think, about Spartan. Braveman's Game jumps really well. Short get to 3 miles. Not much to go wrong with it, to be honest. It's just the Cheltenham form. There's a couple of others you could mention. I think, as you say, they think the English are going to win this race. You've got 300-5 is 16-1 for Nicholls as well. I think if Harry Cabden has chosen to ride that over Braveman's Game, I think potentially that would have been a much shorter price. It was probably a bigger price. Of the Irish, there's Beacon Edge, Capodanno. But no, I think it's one. I think this is going to be one for the English.
So on to race three, the 250, the Coral Cup. Traditionally, one of the most difficult races to work out. We've got 26 runners. As it stands, you might be able to hear in the background the rain here in Cheltenham. The rain's coming down, and it's been coming down for the last hour or so. And it is forecast to be raining all day, so they don't think the going is going to be as quick as it was yesterday. It depends how much it gets into the ground, but it could make a little bit of a difference to some of your selections, which is always annoying, obviously, if you've been anti-post and you've got it right on day one, and then suddenly the going might change and has a bit of an impact. But we are where we are, obviously. So the Coral Cup, I've got a couple of really interesting ones there, I think. Drop the Anchor, really interesting. I think JP McManus, I think he loves these big handicaps at Cheltenham. There's a couple that I'm just going to give you. Drop the Anchor and Campron. Firstly, Drop the Anchor. It ran seventh in the county hurdle last year over 2 mile. If you watch that race back, staying on, found loads of trouble, kept, you know, in some of these races, if you're up the inside, you're going to really, really struggle getting a run. And then when they fan out up the straight, the horses go all over the track, and you want to see how much trouble it was. If you just watch that race back, found lots and lots of trouble, was staying on, and it's gone through the line alongside Edward Stone, which won the Arkle yesterday, and third time lucky. Now, I know it's not easy just to have the collateral form because they've now gone over fences and done much better. But still, lots of good horses around it. Wasn't able to give its full running. And it's not a 2 mile horse, it's a 2.5 mile. I think this 2 mile five will suit it really, really well. To taking £3 off it, it's also £3 lower than it was last year. Over a trip, it will prefer. It won't mind any extra giving the going.
So drop the anchor, I think, about 9-1. Is really, really interesting for me. If you watch the Leopardstown run last time, I think it was 20-odd runners. It must have been 20th, turning in 3 furlongs out. It's past, it's past 10, 15 horses in the past couple of furlongs. It's the only one making ground from the back in that race. And again, it was over an inadequate trip, once a trip like this. So really, really interested in drop the anchor. And the other one, JP McManus's other one in the race, Camprond. He finished fourth in the Greatwood Hurdle. Now, the Greatwood Hurdle, if you look at the race, Marie's Rock came out and won yesterday, won the mares, and that was behind it. There's loads of winners have come out of that race. It's just one of those races. If you find a race like that, that's the form's working out really, really well with lots of horses improving off the back of it, it's worth following. Camprond finished fourth in that race and has been kept quiet since. It's been off for 4 months since that run. Philip Hobbs obviously trying to get it right. His horses are in really, really good form. I think it'll improve for the 2 mile 5. It's been round Cheltenham, it's won at Cheltenham, so I think that's really, really interesting, bringing that Greatwood form into the equation. I think it's definitely well handicapped, and I think that's the reason it's not run since, because it didn't want to damage its handicap mark. So 2 for me, drop the anchor and Camprond. How about yourself, Seamus, in the Coral Cup?
I think pretty much exactly the same as you there, Dave. Drop the anchor, very interesting. Simon Towns riding that, but Aidan Coleman riding Camprond, he'd had the choice. So definitely interesting that he's chosen that one. A couple of others, maybe bigger prices, Grand Ra for Gordon Elliott. Again, David Russell was set out the back, probably out wide, keep it out of trouble. If you watch its runs, the last few runs, it could have been closer. You could say it's been below form. It doesn't look like it's been in races that potentially would have suited it as well as this will. Big field, quick pace, they're going to go quick. So I think Grand Wire, the big price, could be one to keep an eye on again. But definitely JP McManus is out of tour, you mentioned. I think also were very interesting.
We move on to the feature on day 2, the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Again, one of the most popular races of the week. For me here, you've got the best horse in training. I'm going to hand over to Seamus to see if he thinks the Irish can do anything to snatch the Queen Mother Champion Chase away from Shishkin. Dave, I think this is an absolute certainty, Shishkin. When it's run last time against Energumen, I think everything in the race went right for Energumen, made its own running. Shishkin made a couple of mistakes, going right-handed. I think Shishkin will improve for Cheltenham. It goes well at Cheltenham. I can't see Energumen improving a bunch for being here. I can see Shishkin improving as well. So I don't think the Irish have got anything behind him. Check in Persuade a couple of times over here has not run up to his best. I know it's a small sample size from a couple of runs in England, but seemingly not travelling as well as it potentially could. If this was in Ireland, I reckon it'd be a shorter price. There was talk of Paul Townend riding it. He's chosen an argument, as everybody knew he would. But I think there's no getting away from Shishkin. Great stuff. Yeah, I completely agree. Everything went as well as it possibly could for an argument. Shishkin still managed to battle. It's just one of those horses that just wants to win. The price getting around even money now, which I think is a mental price. So Shishkin definitely here. If you wanted one at a bigger price, I think Nube Negra is the best. Shaken Persuade and an argument. I think the only way that they are possibly going to try to get Shishkin beaten is to go quick, and they always go quick in the Champion Chase anyway, but both of them like to go forward. You've also got Put the Kettle On in the race, who likes to go forward as well, so I think there's going to be a mental gallop. I don't think that's going to impact Shishkin. It jumps really, really well. The fast pace, it's running these sorts of races plenty of times where they've tried to take it out of its comfort zone. Could potentially hit its flat spot sort of down the hill, as sometimes it does comes off the bridle, but I wouldn't worry. It battles, it gets the 2 mile really well. Nico de Boyenville and anyone associated with Henderson say it would get a trip. Further down the line, it could win a King George or something if they were to go over 3 miles. So I wouldn't worry about that. Nube Negra is the one I could see. There's not many Spanish breads that win at Cheltenham, obviously, but I could see Nube Negra hunting them up, sat out the back, while Shaken Persuade and Ergamin take themselves on, dragging them all along. And I think Nube Negra will sit out the back. Was actually unlucky last year in a race that was set up for Shaken Persuade, still didn't manage to win. But Nube Negra at a price, if you wanted one for a place or for a forecast with Shishkin, would be the way I would go there. We're moving to the 410 then, the cross country chase. I saw Honeysuckle yesterday, and the reception Honeysuckle got was unbelievable. Obviously, 2 years away, no fans been there at the course. Fantastic reception for Honeysuckle. It was fantastic on the day. But that would only be better, I think, if Tiger Roll wins this year. Now, I put everybody off Tiger Roll last year. I said, this is 11, it's not going to win. And obviously, absolutely dotted up by, what, 17, 18 lengths for Meesey's Land. What do you think, Seamus? Do you think Tiger Roll can still be as good as it was? The talk that this is going to be its last ever run? I think Tiger Roll, what a fantastic horse. I think this would be its sixth win at the festival. Yeah, it's won five, it's won two Grand Nationals. I mean, imagine owning that horse, jeez. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. If you look at his run last time, it's a prep run. He was never going to be at his best. But if you look at how it ran pretty much to the same sort of mark as it ran in its warm-up race last year. And, you know, people are saying it's 12-year-old, a 12-year-old's not going to win a Cheltenham. Well, an 11-year-old won the race last year. So, yeah, it's difficult to get away from Tiger Roll. Tiger was at his best with the good going that was there yesterday as well. I think it was playing into the hands. Now, there's going to be a few races today, so we'll get to see what the going is. Generally speaking, in the centre, it's a little bit softer. Now, if the rain gets into the ground, Gordon Elliott has come out and said the tacky ground would be no good for Tiger Roll. And I think you'd have to take it on at the price. But I think I'd probably rather not have a bet. Watch the race, hope it wins, you know, and cheer it home. Coming in, throw the Guinness in the air as you do. Annoy everybody around you. And just play up your winnings in the rest of the races. Great stuff. Well, I look forward to seeing that later on. Keep that away from my pink suit. I think Tiger Roll, for me, if it's at its best, it wins. Don't think anyone would argue with that. The really interesting one here for me is Delta Work. It's finished fifth in a Gold Cup. It's finished third in an Irish Gold Cup. It's the class horse coming into the race. You don't know necessarily whether it's going to take to this unique test at the cross-country poses. There's loads of question marks about those sort of lower down. Prengard is an interesting one, I suppose. It's come over from France into Ender Bulger. Easy's Land, I suppose, is interesting now, being trained by John Joe O'Neill. Obviously, it's ran well here previously. But the race revolves around Tiger Roll. If it's at its best, I think it wins. So it's probably one to watch. I don't think I'd be advising anybody to be steaming in at the prices of a 12-year-old at Cheltenham. But at the same time, if you do back it, best of luck, and I'll be hoping Tiger Roll actually wins today. So into the sixth race, the 450, the Grand Annual. So this is the handicap over 2 miles for those that are probably not quite up to running the Champion Chase. There's a few here that I think are interesting. Firstly, Editor de Geet. It's won here twice, coming here fresh. It's a front runner. Some people like front runners, some people don't. Generally speaking, the front runners do quite well at Cheltenham. It generally suits them. There might be a couple of others here that take it on. But I think it's a good horse. I think it's potentially on a handy mark. As I say, it's been kept fresh. It's been off for 3 months. I think it could be an interesting one. It's one on the old course and on the new course. And it does fit the sort of profile of one that you'd like in the Grand Annual. The most solid, I think, top of the handicap, Sky Pirate. Obviously won the race last year. Most solid probably in the race. Really, really consistent horse. Couldn't put anybody off it. If you were looking for an each way one, especially with the enhanced places, I think some bookmakers are going to be going 7 places on this today. You can't see Sky Pirate being out of the 7, so it could be one of them. The talking horse, Andy Dufresne. I don't think it's quite lived up to all the hype, actually, over the years. It's off a big mark. I think it's off 155 today. It's not for me at the prices favourite now. They've had much bigger prices about it. Good luck to you if you've got on at bigger prices. But for me, I've obviously missed the boat with that one over the past few weeks. So it won't be one that I'm looking to get involved in. There is another one that I know Seamus likes, though, of the Irish contingent. So, Seamus, do you want to share what you were talking about on the Irish contingent for the Grand Annual? Well, I take your point on Andy Dufresne. I'm similar to yourself, actually, funny enough. Funny how that keeps happening, actually. Jeez. Anyway, Andy Dufresne, first time in a handicap, running off 155. Generally speaking, 155 in a handicap. I'd like to be getting something lower down the weights, actually. So, I'm happy to let that one go. In a big race like this, 20 runners as well, going a mad gallop. Not for me. Buddy Rich is one I'm interested in. Ran last time against Dunvegan, has come out once since. The horse that finished second has come out and once since. Horses in behind have ran well. And if you watch that race back, coming to second last, you think it's the winner. Jumps at the land over the second last, it's in front. And it looks like it's not quite got home, but I think Dunvegan's just really well in. It's £20 well in. The second horse is now rated. It's come out and won a handicap £10 higher. And I just think it was against better horses.
Buddy Rich at the same market ran off that day. Is there a done vegan in here? It's got a stone and a half in hand. I don't know. I wouldn't say there is. So Buddy Rich, I think, is one there that I'll be having a good look at. Double figure price, obviously. Davy Russell on, as I keep saying, really like him in these sort of races. They're going to go super quick. And I think Buddy Rich, for me, is the one that I'd be interested in.
Great stuff. So into the final race, the 5:30, the Weatherby's Champion Bumper. For those that don't necessarily follow the racing, Cheltenham is obviously all jumps racing. This is the only flat race of the week. Facile Vega, the talking horse here. This is the one that everyone's been shouting about. I actually heard Pat Cooney from Bet365 a few days ago saying that this horse was actually backed to win this race before it had been named. So somebody called Bet365 and said Quivega obviously won whatever it was, 4 mares hurdles at Cheltenham. This is her first offspring. As soon as she'd had the offspring, somebody called and said, what price Quivega's offspring to win the bumper? And they've given 33s, and it's been backed from 33s all the way down. So you've missed the boat if you're not on already. About even money, I'd be looking to get it beat. Willie Mullins has got lots of runners here. I think he's got 7 runners in the race. And it's not, you know, it's not unlike Willie Mullins to have so many in the race. And one of the outsiders win. So I think Paddy Mullins had the choice of them, and obviously he's chose Facile Vega. I don't think there was any question that he would choose that. Redemption Day, been chosen by Paul Town, and he'd have had, probably had second pick. In behind that, there's all sorts of other ones. St. James's Gate of his, I think. James's Gate, I think he's interesting. Again, look really impressive. There's not much to go at. It's not a race to go mad in, certainly not a race to go mad in. There's so many unexposed ones there. I think Q Card won this race at 50-1, which is just remarkable looking back now. For me, the one we've put up on the podcast previously is American Mike at a big price. I say a big price, I think we're on at about 5-1, 11-2. Much shorter price today. It's not ran for 3 months. At the point when that ran, the sort of mark that ran to would normally be enough to make it favourite to win this race. And it's only Facile Vega that's come out since that has sort of taken away from that. But for me, I'm more than happy sticking with American Mike here. There could be, like I say, there could be anything at bigger prices. Paul Nolan doesn't send many to Cheltenham. He certainly doesn't send them for no reason. The fact that he sent over Joyo Machine, I think he's interested in itself, especially seeing as it was beaten by Facile Vega first time up. Couldn't get it off the bit. I think it beaten by a 6 length, but Facile Vega won easily. It was very green that day, so you could see it definitely having come on. It come out and won at Navan. Something in behind, you know, it said the winners have come out from the race in behind it, so the form's not too bad. But yeah, certainly the market normally, you'd hope, tells a story here. Is there anything else that you'd like to add on the bumper, Seamus?
I think Facile Vega, there is super, super impressive. 11-10, 5-4, 22 runners, last race of the day. It's not something I'm going to be getting involved in. I'll probably have bigger fish to fry at the time in the Guinness Village. So, probably won't be having a bet here, if I'm completely honest with you, Dave.
Okay, no problem at all. Well, best of luck with your bets today, wherever you are. If we just have a really quick recap of the races and where we would potentially tell you to mark your card. Sir Gerhard in the first for any of the multiples that you're potentially doing. I like Lompresse and Ahoy Senor in the second race. You've got Camprond and Drop the Anchor that I'm really super, super interested in, the Coral Cup. Those extra places, 7 places, they'll be betting with some of the bookmakers. I literally cannot see how they are kicked out the frame. I couldn't believe what I was seeing when I was watching back some of those races this morning that have been running in recently. It's just a shame there's 2 of them in the same race. The Champion Chase, you've got Shishkin again. Shishkin double maybe with Sir Gerhard, or a lot of you may have done the bigger ones with Honeysuckle from yesterday, trying to roll everything in together. The race after, are you going to back Tiger Roll? I'm not sure. Potentially going to leave that race. Hopefully it wins, obviously. Hopefully it wins. The romantic in me hopes that it wins. The 450, you've got Eddie to the Geet, and you've got Buddy Rich. Both big prices. Again, difficult race, the Grand Annual, generally to get a track on. But yeah, both of those are interesting for me. And then in the final race, Rodeo and American Mike at bigger prices. So I'm more than happy to stick with that. But you know, there's always stuff lower down. There's a lot of unbeaten horses here. They've just not maybe shown the same level of form or ran to the same sort of figures as Facile Vega. But if there's something that takes your eye there, best of luck with it. You'd be delighted to know that tomorrow on the podcast we've got 2 very special guests.
I'm not going to tell you who they are, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll get a notification when we release the podcast in the morning. We've got two familiar faces on tomorrow's podcast of Get Your Tips Out. Remember, bet responsibly. Only bet what you can afford to lose. And if you're at the festival today, make sure you drink irresponsibly.